Introducing Diderio's DIY cable kit with mini plugs. Each cable kit makes up to 5 top quality custom patch cables. Turns out your board doesn't have to be so packed after all.
This is Chris Keith for Premier Guitar, hanging at the Cowan in Nashville, Tennessee, next to Topgolf. I think it's the only one that has a venue. Anyways, we're in Music City, so it makes sense. We're here with Scott of Polyphia. Scott, how you doing?
Good, man.
Thank you for talking gear with us, and it's pretty exciting. I think this might be one of the first gear videos that, other than what you've probably done for Ibanez and DiMarzio, to, you know, shine some light on the new signature stuff you got working.
Dude, all right.
Tell me about this one. How did it come about?
All right, well, we were talking to our dude over at Ibanez. Shout out Mike. We love you, Mike. And one day he was like, all right, it's time for a signature guitar. So we were like, okay. And it took a year. Usually it takes people like years to do it.
Yeah.
We did it in a year because we wanted to release them at the next NAMM.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. This is the SLM-10.
How'd you get to this beauty? Because I've seen you with Tallman's, AZ series stuff, RG series stuff. So how did you get all those elements that you wanted to make a Scott LePage signature model? And of course, including the DiMarzio humbucker. So how did it all come together and you mash it all to what it is, what we see?
Well, Tallman is right here. This is the little Tallman thing that we got going on, the 22 frets and all that stuff. We really love the sound of like the single coil middle and neck and the in-between little position where you're using both of them, you know what I mean? And then I like the, this is my signature pickup, the Igno, and I really like the sound of the bridge too, so that's why I wanted my SIG to be the bridge, because I think that position sounds sick. And these are true velvets, all with DiMarzio, but...
And is that kind of your current setup is the HSS, whereas before I've seen you with, you got the double hum here, I've seen you with the HSH. Mm-hmm. Why do you go away from currently with the humbucker in the neck? I know it's here, but at least in your signature one.
Well. You know, I like that sound too, the double humbucker stuff going on, but we kind of wanted like that more like Stratty sound for stuff too, because I mean like Goat and stuff like that. Like that.
Yeah,
being
let's
a
hear
riff
some
on.
Of the, let's hear some of the tones right, you got with this right. Beast.
So that's a neck pickup. And that's the little, both of them.
Springy, bouncy. That's kind of like your clean tone riffs are always, they kind of jump off, I guess, the speaker, so to speak. It's pretty
indeed.
Resonant.
Yeah, so it's cool. And you get a bunch of sounds through those guys.
Let's hear the humbucker.
All right, a humbucker I'm going to use.
Some dirt?
I'm going to put some dirt on it. Because that's what it's made for, baby, you know? So yeah, nice and not too much, not too hot, you know what I'm saying? It's just right.
And you got the Goto trim, right?
Dude, I don't know what the hell this is actually, but it's like just whatever they had for the AZ, I guess.
Gold though.
Dude,
it's
yeah,
classy.
Of course, gold everything, baby. These are cool because they're black and gold, so it's like sweet. And then gold hardware up here, pearl stuff up here for the logo, and then pearl stuff over here for the neck logo.
You got the roasted neck too?
Yeah, the roasted maple neck. Feels like butter, of course.
Say, do you notice that different? And I'm sure you've had other guitars throughout the years that didn't come pre-roasted and whatever the chemicals and magic behind that. What do you feel as a player tonally, or is it all just voodoo that you trust in Ibanez?
I feel like a lot of it's voodoo. For me anyway, I don't really know the difference between other than like it looks cool and feels cool.
Yeah,
I think that's really what it is. Like it feels sick, you know, and obviously it fucking looks awesome, so that's kind of cool.
Is the humbucker tapped at all if you ever want to get the bridge single coil, or is that just the all humbucker all the time?
So I'll start up here. So this is just this boy. Fourth is these boys. Middle is just the middle boy, and then this one is just these two guys. And then you got your humbucker.
Cool.
So that's how it's all wired up.
And what strings are you running?
These are Dunlop. I think they're the nickel wound ones that I have right now, but I usually use the super brights.
And try like a standard gauge, like 10s, 10s or
11s? Oh yeah, they're 10 to 52.
Cool.
10 to 52, because I like a little heavier, because I like push down really fucking hard.
Yeah, you're a master of the hammer-ons and pull-offs.
Yeah, I hammer. I hammer on.
what tune are you guys in?
This one's in standard. Our other guitar's in drop D.
Is that the kind and of then, main two tunings you guys use, or is there anything else, just those two? Okay.
We're kind of pushing drop D out with the standard, because I mean, we use our signature, me and Tim use the signature guitars that we have for standard, which is what we're kind of like trying to push all of our new music on.
Yeah.
And then we got a couple 8-strings that we use too for, you know, the 2 8-string songs that we play.
The heavy. But,
yeah, dude. But yeah, that's it. And then here's the back of it in case you want to see the back. It also looks really fucking cool. You have springs in there in case you want to, you know, look at the springs. This is where some technological stuff goes that I don't touch.
Science.
This is where science happens. And then this stuff right here is great.
It hugs the belly.
Not only does it hug the belly, but it caresses the breast, you know. Fucking put that right in there.
Was there any thought going, because obviously you alluded that Tim has a signature Ibanez as well, but he has the mini humbucker. Was that like a game plan you guys had? Like, all right, well, I'm the full bucker guy.
Well,
Tim,
you know,
because tonally they do offer a little differences.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny because I had the idea, like, dude, what if, because we couldn't do fucking single for some reason. It was some like Fender said no or some shit. I don't know if that's information I'm even supposed to tell, but
we'll find out.
Something happened. We'll just say that something happened where we couldn't do single. So we're like, what if we did a fucking mini humbucker?
Yeah.
And then I just eventually decided, like, you know what? We were both supposed to do that, but I was like, you know, I kind of just want the humbucker, like the full big boy humbucker. Mm-hmm. So I did that instead. And then Tim did that little mini guy because he wanted it. And I was like, that's fucking sick. I'm glad one of us is doing it still, you know, because it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
It's unique. Everyone else, or no one else's signature has a little mini
humbucker
in it.
Yeah.
So that's like a sick thing about his that he's got.
Yeah. His.
But yeah. Oh, and mine's the only one with fucking 22 frets.
Yeah, why not 24? Normally people kind of gravitate towards the 24 fret necks. What's
your
mojo behind that?
Yeah, I used to as well. But you know, Ibanez sent me a couple of guitars that had 22 frets on them, and I really liked the tone that I got with the fucking shit jacked all the way up here. So you cut off those 2 frets so you can hit the tone G spot, and you're good to go, baby. You know what I mean? So I wanted my pickup to be up here, and I never use those 2 frets anymore.
Yeah.
There's like a song that I think I might like hit like one of those, but we play it in drop D, so I use my other guitar with it.
There you
but
go.
But yeah, I'm more of like the lower note guy, and Tim is like all the way up here. So
you stay out of that territory.
Yeah, dude, I don't go to those grounds, and it's not because I can't.
Oh, so you're a mean picker, dude. You got the hybrid stuff down.
Well, I have that one note in Champagne where it's like, but that's it.
And I've seen you play with amps and pedals, MXR stuff, Dunlop, EVH heads, but as the looks of it, you got some orange cabs behind us and AXE-FX. AXE-FX 2, I believe?
Yeah, well, this is the AX8.
So you're not even using the AX.
I don't know what
not
they
even
call
using
it.
The unit, the AXE-FX. You're just using the floor unit here.
Yeah, we just got the little floor unit guy. And this is cool because it's the AXE-FX and a pedal board. And I can just fucking, you know, go like this. And then I have things that happen. And basically I plug in through that, and then we got that plugged in through the amp behind one of these amps.
You got like a dark terror
There's a dark terror in one of the fake guys. I think it's this one. Yeah, these are fake. That's fake.
Rock trick.
That's real.
Let's hear some real music through this AX8.
All right,
maybe
dude.
Maybe some key patches you use.
All right, so here's my little clean patch that I use. A nice fresh E. Which one's the audience one? This one or this one?
The little guy.
All right, a nice fresh E. With the neck pickup, the true velvet, in the tone G spot where the 24th fret would have gone.
Perfect.
And then we have a drivey E. That's with a little bit of tit hair reverb, and this is with no reverb at all. Ah, yeah, you can tell it's a lot more.
It's there, it's present.
It's crispy. It's crispy, and then what do we got over here? We got like a fucking a lead tone.
What about like the lead tone like Champagne? So give people maybe more of a reference so they can really know what they're hearing, like maybe like a Champagne tone or 40
dude.
Ounce.
We'll do 40 saucy. Just because Champagne's in drop D and this one's in, or
standard.
No, we'll do Saucy because that one's fun.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's a good idea. All right, Saucy. All right. I guess I'll play my little part. And that is with these two guys right here, the fourth position. And that one is just, dude, it's so sexy and smooth. I don't know.
It's saucy.
It's saucy. That's why we call the song Saucy, because that whole thing is just... Tim plays it better than I do because he wrote it, that little part. But it's a saucy-ass riff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is there anything you have specially set up with your bridge, or the strings, or anything you got with your action to allow you to do... Just like the example with that Saucy riff, or I know that you guys use the Wambi bar for like a flutter effect.
Oh yeah, we fucking like, smack
yeah,
this thing,
yeah, like
dude.
Is there anything that you have to set up to make that work because of your playing? You have such expressive playing through your dynamics of how you're attacking the strings. Is there anything that you ask for your tech or that you personally want to have when you grab a guitar that needs to do all the things that Scott needs to do?
You know, not really, man. You kind of just have to... Well, yes, I do have like my action set to how I like it. I don't like it super high because then I can't fucking hit any of the notes.
Yeah.
It's like I'm playing a damn sitar or some shit and I can't play a sitar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it's not like super low. I mean, you can kind of see, you know, it's like not like fucking crazy ass low.
No, there's a little.
You know, there's no buzz or any of that shit. Can't have that. I pretty much just set it as high as I can do until there's no buzz. You know, but usually they send it to me just the fucking way I like it, I guess. It's fine. And then this, like, I never really have to mess with any of that stuff.
Because you guys don't really, you're not, you know, think of another Dallas famous guitar player, Dimebag. Like, he, you know, he'd really work that whammy, whereas you guys use it more of a subtle effect, almost that sometimes just ring out harmonics rather than bombing.
Yeah, no, well, I don't really do all the dive bomb shit because our tones aren't that high gain.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
I mean, Dimebag was busting his shit through a fucking Randall solid-stater. Like, he could do that shit for days. And he would!
Yes.
He fucking would! But no, we don't do all that stuff because, I mean, especially with, like, this one, it's meant to just be, like, kind of chill, you know? So you got, like, the fucking... That whole riff, like...
Yeah.
Dude, you're not gonna fucking... On that shit. Not with this pickup position. I mean, maybe with the Igno...
Let's hear that, like, maybe something that might be your, like, heaviest or most distorted tone with the Igno, just to kind of show the range.
Well, it's really just this one, dude. This is the heaviest tone we use. Heaviest. It's the highest gain tone we use, and, like, the drive is only, like, at 1 o'clock on this motherfucker. Is that right? 1 o'clock?
This is your spaceship. Yeah, let's hear it.
It's my spaceship, dude. And I'm fucking driving it.
Well, take me on an adventure. I want to hear some dirt.
All right, let's see. I'm trying to think of what do I play with
the bridge pickup in standard.
Do you want to swap out for...
It's funny because...
No, because I want to play the Igno.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's fucking, the whole point here.
I'm going to play the Igno, but, you know, I guess I'll just spout some bullshit, but... I guess I should use a lead tone if I'm going to do a lead. Give me a fucking moment now.
The spaceship.
You press the wrong button on the spaceship and sends you to Mars when you were trying to go to the moon. Hell yeah. Yeah, that's the fucking tone, bro.
Killer,
man. That's pretty sick. And then here's a little tone knob. I don't really fuck with that too much.
Yeah, do you mess with the volume control either on the guitar or the tone control?
Well, if you ever watch this live, you'll see me always fucking like going like this.
Yeah.
It's because I do a lot of pickup changes and stuff like that. Like, there are riffs where like the next part is like here, and it's from it's from the bridge pickup. So I'll have to like smack it over here and then like go with the thumb like that. Just
like a workaround almost.
Oh dude, it takes total relaxation and just like focus, you know, it's just real quick. Let's try it again.
Dang, you know, it's you just, got it in.
Yeah, and sometimes like
it's like a touch.
Sometimes I'll just flick it there already and it's fucking, oh, there it is. But it's hard. It takes fucking practice and that shit sucks. Like practicing that for however long I practiced it, a couple of years, I guess. But just over the years, I mean, sometimes I miss it, and I'm like here, and I'm like, oh, shit. It sounds like shit now, and then I have to kind of, like, play the riff and then see if I can do it, and I'll hit it too far. But, you know, it's not that bad if I get the wrong pickup, because they all sound fucking dope anyway.
Man, I got to ask, you've been now touring with this for a little bit. What do you enjoy about this rather than having more traditional setup with the effects and pedals and amps that you're normally used to?
Well, the pedals and shit. Oh, what's up, Clay? This is Clay Gubber, by the way.
Hey, Clay, how are you
he
doing?
He knows a thing or two about the pedals and shit.
Oh, yeah.
I was just telling them, dude, I fucking, like, instead of having, like, a pedal, because you can set all the effects and stuff like that, and then press a button, and then, like, it'll go to the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can put your reverb there, and then activate it and deactivate it, or bypass, for those people who like to say it correctly. Yeah. And then I just, that's hard for me, you know?
No, so, I think I can take this one.
I put my own patches.
No, I got it.
You know what I mean?
I got it.
He's got it.
Judas Priest, always has been, always will be.
See? Good
he's,
man.
He's got it, dude.
He's got it figured out.
He's got some pedals over there, too, that he, I don't even know if he touches them or not, but.
They're there. They look cool.
There. Yeah, they look cool. He's got his tuner. I know he fucks with that every now and then.
And yours even says mine on it, so that's, I mean.
Yeah, I had to label that one mine so people knew that it was mine.
Could get confusing.
Yeah, well, somebody ended up writing my name underneath it, and I was like, well, that defeats the point of making it mine.
So you guys have conquered gent, metal, hip-hop now with working with Y2K.
We're working on conquering hip-hop. We haven't quite done it yet.
So what's the next thing yet? We're going to do, you know, you're in Nashville. It's appropriate question to ask. Are you guys going to do country music next?
Well, you know, it's funny because...
I see a hybrid pick, man.
We have said that we may do a country album because you just never know what the hell we're going to do. But I think we're going to try to conquer hip-hop a little more.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, we'll see.
So it's fun. You guys always make it adventurous for us listeners.
Well, thank you. You know, it's adventurous for us writing it because it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
Doing everything. Everything is always so hard because, like, no one's really, I guess, doing it like we are, so to speak. I mean, it sounds like a fucking weirdo. It's like, no one's doing it like we are.
But it's kind of true.
There's nothing I can listen to reference, like, okay, well, maybe I should do something like this. It's all fucking just like I have to think of it like originally. You know, and it's just like jamming over a beat or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Do you find you guys find yourself playing guitar over rap music as it is, and then that creates ideas to where you're at, you know, with New Devils, New Levels?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like one of those things where you gotta just, man, I'll just sit in front of the computer and just try to push shit out, you know, and like anything if I'm having writer's block or something like that. But you know, you write something down and then you check it the next day and sometimes it sucks. Most of the time it sucks.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's cool.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I can build something off of this. And then next thing you know, you got a song. Like, that's how we did Look But Don't Touch, you know? It's just, we pumped that motherfucker out in like 3 weeks.
Damn.
You know, like, Tim started the beat and the riff. And then he sent it over to me and it was like, hey, yo, we gotta get this shit out, like, soon. Because, you know, the tour is called the Look But Don't Touch tour.
Yeah.
We should release it. And I was like, fuck yeah. So we did the song and the fucking drums for it. Which, by the way, Clay, like, did the drums, like, in a day and, like, hadn't heard most of the parts. So
damn.
He's fucking, he's a badass. Clay stayed up all night the night before we filmed the video recording the bass parts. Like, I mean up all night. Like, we went to bed at, like, 3 or 4 that night and he had started at, like, midnight. And we woke up at like 7 or 8 in the morning and he was still doing it and he worked until like 2 p.m. or some shit.
Dedication.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's a fucking badass. And then we sent all the stems away that night and we did the fucking video and everything to like a demo of the song.
Yeah.
And we got the video back like a week later and we didn't see the final cut of the video until the night before the tour. Like we were on the bandwagon driving to the first venue watching the video for the first time and then we released it. So 3 weeks.
Procrastination pays, kids.
Yeah, no it don't.
Do you feel, one last question tied together would be, do you feel having the Axe FX as a tool, obviously it's on stage, might be, gives you a little anxiety maybe, but also alleviate some things, but as a practice tool, I'm sure you're able to have a sound quickly that you can get the idea down and that idea isn't lost, whereas maybe if tripping over the idea of tracing tones to get this idea out might prohibit the actual idea from, you know, coming through your fingers.
Yeah, you know, I use the rack unit at home. Of course, my setup is shit. I literally have it on top of, like, a thing, like, over there. I don't have, like, any legit, like, furniture yet. But I just put it on top of that. But, yeah, it's easy as shit. I mean, like, they have tons of presets that are dope, so I just use the fucking presets and they're cool and it's easy to just get the ideas down. That's the most important, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, track it dry if you want and just fucking like reamp it later. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, if you really need to. That's what we do for all the final guitars and shit for the songs.
Yeah.
and bass guitar as well. We'll just track it dry in case we want to like change the guitar tone or like fuck, we should like, I don't know, take down some of the gain. We have to re-record it again, so it's extremely convenient. And as far as just like writing and getting ideas down, it's fantastic too, because you have like, all you have to do is plug it in and then plug that shit into the computer and then plug that shit into the speakers or however you do it.
It's go time.
And you're making sound, baby, and you're writing songs like that. You're pumping them out. So
last question, is it invigorating to be around Clay and Tim, who are obviously musicians on your caliber, where you guys are all pushing each other and pushing the genre and just pushing guitar and each individual instrument forward, but you guys are highly talented dudes, so it's like you don't want to be the weak link, so it's got to always, I feel like, I imagine that you and Tim are always trying to out-guitar each other. Like, oh.
You know, it's funny, back in the day when we first started, it was like, yeah, let's just fucking shred, and we would kind of like keep up with each other in that way, like he would learn some shit that fucking Rick Graham posted on his Instagram or some shit like that. And of course, Rick Graham, he's got like, first of all, he's really muscular. So he just fucking, like every single finger is just like.
He's got like 10 fingers like on each hand.
Yeah.
That you can just pick.
He's a fucking, he's a monster on guitar. You know, not to suck his dick or anything, but you're fucking awesome, Rick Graham. Like, I mean, we're home. He's like, he did the fucking song and shit. But, man, I lost my train of thought. We started talking about Rick Graham, got me thinking about him and shit.
Just working with you and Tim being like two guitar players playing off each other.
So he would learn some shit, and then he would like show me the thing, and I would learn that shit, and then I would learn a thing, and then I would show Tim it. And we would try to do that, and after a while, it was just like, okay, well, now we know all this shit, but how are we going to implement that into writing songs that are actually good?
Mm.
And that was kind of like a challenge that we faced with like shredding and all that shit. So we kind of took it down a notch and we were like, let's just kind of focus more on like, I don't know if you noticed, but like the newer stuff is like a lot more chordal based.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, we do a lot of chords and shit now. So instead of just like doing a bunch of notes like we used to, we'll kind of do a bunch of notes like in a chord and like break it down or like arpeggiate it or something like that.
It's not rhythmic, more rhythmic.
Yeah. And then as far as like keeping up with Ashleman on the fucking drums, like that guy's just a monster. Dude, like he plays hip hop beats on the drums. Like he'll fucking do like hi-hat rolls and shit. And like meanwhile he's like crash over here, crash over here. I don't know how, I really honestly don't know how he does it. And he learns all the shit. Like, well, he had like 2 weeks to learn like 5 new songs before this tour. I mean, we all did, but yeah. The drums are the most complicated, let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
They're physically demanding and they're tough, but he fucking nails it. Like, dude, I was watching a video the other night of one of our live shows and we were playing Look But Don't Touch. And I was only listening to the drums because they, first of all, they sounded sick.
Yeah.
Because
sound guy.
Our sound guy fucking rules. And he played them perfectly. I was like, damn, dude, sounds fucking better than the record. You know?
That's gotta be a fun environment to be in when you're surrounded and on stage and in the moment you can see that and hear that and feel it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, like on stage, like I'm pretty sure we're all just focusing on ourselves and just like the click, you know? Because we have like the ear thingies and we just like have our own mixes and shit and I'll just, like you can do it on your phone. There's like an app or whatever. So I'll put like Tim over here a little bit, Gober over here a little bit on bass, and then the drums, I actually have them kind of loud because he's sick. Not to say Tim and Clay aren't sick, but like I like to hear the drums because he's keeping the fucking beat and shit, and I have the click, and then me a lot. So I make sure I don't fuck up anything, but yeah, I guess that's it, dude.
It's
I guess
a fun band.
I'm done rambling and shit.
Scott, thank you for talking gear, my man.
There it is.
There it is.
There we go.
It's Chris Keys from Rear Guitar.